son. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we give you glory. We give you glory, God. It is good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. It is, as Pastor was talking about Emporia, it made me think of something that semi goes along with what Sister Stacy sang. And the preacher there Thursday night, I was able to go Thursday night, started talking about identifiers that only each of us have ourselves, that no one else has them. And the first one he mentioned that everybody is probably aware of is your fingerprints. Nobody has your exact same fingerprint. And then he also mentioned your iris in your eye. You might have the same color eyes or close to it, but the lines in your iris, nobody matches the lines in your iris. And the third thing he mentioned was your voice. And that's where he really focused on, was your voice. Is that no one else has your voice. And he started preaching about how your voice matters and how it might seem like there might be someone's voice is similar, but nobody has your exact voice. And that whenever you need something particular for God, your mom's voice ain't gonna take care of it. Your dad's voice ain't gonna take care of it. Your grandma or grandpa's voice ain't gonna take care of it. It is your personal voice that is gonna get what you need. And so as she was singing, you know, you can't see nothing until you see what God can do. Like, you can only see what God can do is if you use your voice. Use your own voice and touch the throne. Touch God and get what you need. Amen. Just a little nugget there I thought was really good that I would share. But as you're opening your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Got kind of a lengthy reading this morning. It's a bit different. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're going to begin reading at verse number 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. We're going to skip to verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Let's skip down now to verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and talketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou hither? And whom hast thou left few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And this is where I want to focus on right here. And David said, What have now done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? As all the other children of Israel sat back hiding behind bushes or whatever it might have been, there was young boy who was sitting there. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in y'all? Is there not a cause to fight this? And that's where I want to focus on this morning. Just a simple little thought. Is there not a cause? Let's pray here tonight, this morning. Let's ask God that he would have his way here. Jesus, God, we need you here this morning, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, God. We got to have you, Jesus. Let your spirit move in the name of Jesus. God, help each and every single person here this morning that we might hear from you and hear your word, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. There's another verse I'm going to read. It's a very short verse, and it says, it's 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And verse number 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And as I was looking over at this verse and studying it, I begin to think of myself one thing. Number one, the author, Paul, he obviously fought. He obviously had a fight. He had a battle that he was warring. And he said, I have fought a good fight. He did his job. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. In my opinion, he had victory. He did what God wanted him to do. And he was successful. But he had to fight. He couldn't just sit back and just watch as other people warred for him. He did his own fighting. If I were to ask each person in here if there is something you are willing to fight for, almost everyone would stand up. Almost everyone, whether it be a loved one you're fighting for, whether it be a spouse, a child, whatever it might be, other family members, something, you would go to war for them. Not maybe literally, but you would fight for them. I know every man in here, if somebody broke into your house, you would defend it in any way possible that you had. If somebody was bothering your kids, you would want to defend them. I know me personally, that also goes for siblings. Anytime somebody would start to, because Marcus was a provoker at the basketball courts, so anytime we would go there, he would be getting himself into all these arguments with all these people, and he was only 14. And of course, they would sit there and they'd be like, man, you better shut your mouth. And that would just start to boil me, and I would want to defend him. I would want to fight with him. And we never got into any fights, thank God, but it would just, there was something in me that if anything happened, I was going to be right there to defend my brother, to fight for him. Even though it was his own fault, I still would have jumped in for it. Amen. In my opinion, whenever things get heated, here's another part. Whenever you're talking to someone about a debate, whether you think an electric car is better than a diesel, like it doesn't matter. Each person has their own opinion, and rightfully so. In my opinion, I'll be right, but in Hunter's opinion, he'll always be right. But rightfully so. My car ain't going to do what he needs, and his truck ain't going to do what I need. So there's opinion, and we will always disagree. But when it comes to defending our own vehicles, we might get heated, we might not get heated. But you can be sure one thing, we're going to fight for our opinions, for our reasons, and why we stand on what we believe. So it goes in other issues, the military. Anytime somebody has a true passion to fight for their country, they join the military because they believe there is a cause to fight for their country. Other reasons that I think of is politicians. Each politician probably thinks that their views are better than whoever is in office. Whoever is currently residing in that particular office, they believe that they can do better, and they believe that they could help out, whether it be the community or the entire country as a whole. They believe, and you take it to them, they'll fight just to get into that office. So there's physical fighting, but there's also fighting for what you want. Not necessarily physically, but you're gonna defend why you want it. There's even cases where some people have lost political office, and you still see them till this day fighting because they believe they won. And so they want to fight for that office because they were wronged. They believe that there is a cause, and they keep on fighting for it. There's one person I want to talk to about this morning that many of y'all probably have heard of, but till this day, he is probably still one of the most decorated men from World War II till this day, and his name is Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy. Back in, I think it was January 26th of 1945, there was a battle that earned him the Medal of Honor at only age 19. At 19 years old, that's the age the twins are, 19, he had a Medal of Honor. And what won him this Medal of Honor? There was a battle that ensued, and him and his soldiers were out, and 6 German tanks came upon Audie and his company. He was in charge of Company B. 6 of them came and started barraging his company with fire. And as he sat back, he turned to his company, said, "Retreat, get into the woods, go, go." But he did not retreat himself. He kept on calling in artillery strikes on the Germans, killing multiple of them with him just staying out there in the battle. Finally, there was one artillery that struck one of his personal tanks. It didn't blow it up. It caught it on fire. He ran back to that tank, jumped in it while it was on fire all around him. He grabbed the gun that was on that turret, and he started killing multiple more of the enemy. They said before it was all done, he probably single-handedly took out over 50 soldiers himself, including an entire company that tried flanking him from behind, and he ended up catching it. He continuously fought till he ran out of ammunition. He knew there was a cause that, hey, if I let this position go, because that the German army was trying to take over the woods that his company has retreated in. He's like, we can't let them have those woods. There is a cause. I am going to keep fighting. And eventually, after he held him at bay, he ran back, and he was injured in the leg, and he told him, we need to counterattack. And they tried, they're like, you need help. You need medical attention. He's like, no, until we counterattack and take care of that issue, I am not going to get medical attention. We have a war that we must fight. We still need to finish this battle before it's over. There's one other person, so I'm going to the political view now, and that's Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. Everyone knows that. But Abraham Lincoln was the president during the Civil War. And there's one thing that Abraham Lincoln wrote that everyone still remembers, and that is the Gettysburg Address. And on November 19th in 1863, he began to give this most famous speech of his, the Gettysburg Address. Now, there's just 2 lines I'm going to read, the first line and the last line. And his first line simply states, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And then he ended with the line, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish. When Abraham Lincoln took office, he knew that more than likely that this war was going to pursue. The Civil War was going to take place. But it was his objective to fight for what he believed in. And with everything in him during his presidency, he fought that Civil War with one mind. If I don't do it, who is going to stand up? If I don't fight this war for what I believe, what is going to happen to this country? And for fully believing in one God, under nation, in liberty, justice for all, for everyone, for everything, people were created equal. He wanted to fight for that one belief. Unfortunately, I do not think that Abraham Lincoln could foresee what was going to come of our country. I love living in the United States, but what Abraham Lincoln called a great country multiple years ago, 84 years before he was president, is definitely not the same country that we live in today. There is no way that he could have foreseen what was going to happen. I definitely do admonish him for fighting what he believed in, and he did right, absolutely. But the years of change that has happened from when he was president to today's now and age is so different. Back in the old days, I'm going to give some examples. Back in the old days, when a lady cut her hair, it was to resemble one thing, and that was either because she was a prostitute or it's because she cheated on her husband. It was one of the two. It was to signify that she was set apart from her husband because of that reason. And that's how you would identify a woman if she had cut hair. She was one of the two. Also, back then, it was hardly an issue, a topic of, is gay marriage okay? Is this something that's right in our country? That wasn't a topic. That was frowned on. If a woman were to come walking into the streets with a pair of pants on or dressed like a man in any way, they'd be like, what is her problem? It was frowned upon. That was not anything that was accepted back in the days. If in a man, nowadays you see it too. If a man walked in a skirt or a pair of women's clothing, whatever it might be, they would frown upon him and say, what is he thinking? What is his problem? Back then, if you were caught in fornication or adultery, it was highly frowned upon. You were set apart. Like I said, the women were marked because of it. If it was found out, it was not accepted. But now you look at today's day and age. Today's day and age. In our current world, that all of that has completely changed. Back then, abortion wasn't even a topic because people were saving themselves for marriage. And so if they happened to end up with a child, they didn't need abortion. It was right. It was right. And nowadays, look what's going on. I thank God Roe v. Wade was overturned. But at the same time, we still got particular states fighting, wanting abortion, not fighting for both of them, value them both. And it's a crying shame we have got to this place. Not only are they doing that, though, but the United States has now legalized gay marriage. That is not okay. I've heard my dad preach something years ago, and I've firmly stood by it, and I consistently tell people this. I don't care what the government might have okayed. Yes, the Bible says to obey them that has the rule over you. But the minute they cross the lines of the Bible, the minute they cross the lines of the Word of God, it is not okay. It is not okay. Gay marriage will never be okay. Abortion will never be okay. Living in fornication and adultery will never be okay. It is a sin. It is a sin against God. It's a sin against the temple. Your body is a temple. And it will never be okay, no matter what anybody says. Amen. The more you look at it, over the years of this country folding, it keeps on changing over and over. Why? There's people whose minds were made up that the fight that grandpa had is no longer my fight. The fight that they fought for, I no longer believe that exact fight. He might have been fighting for, you know, he might have been fighting for all people to be equal, fighting for the rights of our country. But you know what? I no longer believe that exact thing. I want to change my views, my values. And as I look into this, I want to ask you one question. Do you have a cause? Do you have a fight still in you for this truth? Do you have a fight? There's one thing that's been worn in me for our young people is, do you believe that this faith is still worth fighting for? There's one thing that I meant that in my other message, an old time Pentecost for a new generation, is even though we might have elderly preachers who have fought the good fight of faith, they've reached their course, they're retiring. But are you going to change what they fought for? Or are you going to fight for the truth? Are you going to stand up for what is right? Or are you going to change the gospel? There's still only one God. Don't ever change that gospel. There's one baptism, and it's in Jesus' name. Don't ever change the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the truth. This is what we have to die for. I remember Pastor talking about how first generation loves it. Second generation, I'll get it wrong, but you know, second generation deals with it. Third hates it. The fourth loathes it. And they just hate. They progression. It's because they no longer have a love, or it never got in them, and they never got involved in the fight. There's something way more. When America was first fought for the independence was won in 1776, it was way more than just, oh, we're here for, you know, just to fight. But every single patriot believed in what they were fighting for. I believe in my freedom. I believe in my freedom to worship. And if you didn't get out there and fight, that was your issue. But they believed, hey, I need to take a part in this battle. I need to take a part in this battle. There is people who can check out of the fight. And unfortunately, you look over the church and over the apostolic movement, and you could see changes. You feel in it, you know, you've seen it. But some apostolic churches allowing televisions, losing the fight, losing the faith, losing the sight for what their fathers fought for them to uphold that faith. In Jesus' name. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And this is where I'm really gonna focus. I don't have much longer because there's one place I really want to focus. I want to see if everyone in here still has a fight in them, still has a cause to fight, or have you lost your cause? Have you lost the faith on what you've been fighting for? Are you losing your faith? In 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. And on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no power to weep. Everything that was in David's city, that was in his house, and every man's house was gone. His wives, his children, everyone else's wives, everyone else's children, gone, stolen, taken. Their houses burnt to the ground. No more. They had no more valuables, nothing left. And in my opinion, they had every opportunity to sit and weep and say, it's gone. There's nothing else worth fighting for. We've been out battling and warring, and I'm sick and tired of fighting. Look what happens, David. We come home and we've been fighting the whole time, and everything's gone. It's your fault. The Bible talks about how David's men spoke of stoning him because of what of being gone. They were stoning him. David had every opportunity to drop it right there and be like, you know what? You're right. This is a lost cause. There is no reason why we should continue this fight. There is no reason. Everything's gone. My family's gone. My wives are gone. My children are gone. This is a lost cause. That wasn't what David did, though. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't hang his head down. Just because there was one loss doesn't mean he was fixing to take another. He was fixing to move on and pursue. Let's look at verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, the Lord, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Recover all. If David would have quit just that one time, it was just one more time that he had to just stand up and he prayed, God, is it worth it? God, shall I pursue? And he goes, David, you pursue and you're going to take all of it. Everything back that the devil stole from you, you're going to take it all. Whatever it might be. Verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon the camels and fled. Listen to this next voice. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. He recovered everything just because of one more going up, just one more chance, going to God saying, you know what? I'm going to fight. I might feel down. The Bible talks about how they had wept until they had no more power to weep. No more tears to weep. They couldn't weep anymore. It even talks about how they went on their journey. How there was, I think it was 200 men who had to stay behind because they were so weak. They couldn't do it. But David's like, I've got a cause. I've got a cause. I have something that's worth fighting for. I've got to fight for this cause. I've got to fight for my family. I've got to fight for what God's given me. And everything, I must fight for it. David had the opportunity to quit, but he didn't. There's a couple others. Where would Shadrach and Meshach be if they would have kept, if they would have quit? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They see the fire. They're like, oh, I guess we must worship. They were in captivity with everyone else who had been captive with them. And the Bible says they were the only ones who did not bow down. Talk about pressure. Talk about pressure. I bet you they felt every opportunity. We just, you know, the fight's over. We're in captivity. No, they went to the fiery furnace. They're like, I'm going to give it one chance. I'm going to fight one more time. I'm going to pick up my fight one more time. And they were delivered from that fiery furnace. Amen. As we stand, I'm going to tell you a couple more. Where would David would have been if he would have went out to fight, if seen Goliath and cowered just like everyone else? What if he would have hid and ran and been like, that's too scary? But there was a fight that David had ensued in him. Is there not a cause? This guy is defying the armies of the living God. He is defying my God. It should be your God too. And he took up a slingshot and a stone and he killed Goliath. Daniel, where would he have been if he was staring into the lion's den and said, you know what? I give up. I'm not praying anymore. It's too dangerous. But Daniel went again to his window, opened it up, and started to pray. God took him. He went to the lion's den, but God delivered him of the lion's den. Where would Shama would have been if he would have ran with everyone else from his hill of beans? But he stood there and fought until he killed all. I think he killed over 20 people before they fled. He kept his land. Yet every single one of these men, if they had every ample opportunity to fight or to quit. But yet they stood and fought. Every opportunity. Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is how I like to think. This is how I like to point it. I like making it personal. So I want to ask you, if you fall, do you, Gavin, have something worth fighting for? Make it personal. It's not your parents, it's you. Hunter, you might be alone. You might be here. But is it in you? Do you have something worth fighting for? You fight for this truth. Same thing for every young person and for all of the others. When I was praying for this, I started thinking of one thing. Is if you have a lost loved one, if you have a backslidden relative, are you just going to give up because they quit? Or are they worth fighting for? Are you going to consistently keep coming to church fighting for that backslidden relative? Are you going to come to this altar every time praying, God, save them? God, I'm going to come to battle one more time. I'm going to come to this war one more time. What if God promised you a miracle? What if God promised you a healing? You can't do nothing until you try God. Fight the battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. These altars are open right now. Oh, in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell some people, you might be looking into your own fiery furnace. You might be looking into your own giant. You might be looking into a lion's den. But do not give up. There's still fight this battle. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to fight? Remember what God has promised you. Remember the miracle that you want. Remember a lost soul that you want to see saved. But not just that. Is revival not a cause to fight? Is revival not a cause to fight in our church? To fight this spiritual battle? We can't afford to slack off in any church service. We must fight this battle. Are you fighting in defense of our worship, in defense of our prayer, in defense of everything Pastor's been talking about? Don't give up, church. Are you fighting for your faith? Or are you losing the faith? Are you losing sight of the vision? Are you losing sight of what God has called you here to do? Are you losing sight of what this battle is for? Are you fighting for the apostolic way? Whatever it might be, you put yourself in the position Do not give up. The Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Don't let anything take your mind off the cause. Fight for what is right. Fight, church, fight.